Garfield and Eisenberg for America by Hapa Kitsune, read by Rhea 314. Fandom the Social Network RPF, West Wing. Rating teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Pairing Jesse Eisenberg, Andrew Garfield. Happy ITPE! 1. Hi, Andrew says cheerily to the elderly woman behind the desk. I'm supposed to be going in for a meeting? Yes, he's ready to see you, she says, gesturing him towards a door. Go ahead. Who's ready to? Andrew starts. But she cuts him off, waving her hand dismissively. Andrew sighs and heads inside the door. He freezes and his stomach drops in abject terror. He says, looking around the oval office. I think there's been a mistake. No one answers, so Andrew just sits down hesitantly on one of the couches. A moment later, a door on the other side of the room opens, and the President of the United States walks in with an older man Andrew recognizes as Leo McGarry, and the curly-haired man Andrew had talked to earlier. Andrew lets out a noise that sounds embarrassingly like a squeak, leaping to his feet, and the President looks up. Who is this? He asks, turning to Leo and the curly-haired man. Andrew thinks his name is Jesse, but Andrew also thinks he may be having some sort of stroke or an aneurysm, so he's not relying on his memory. Andrew Garfield, says maybe Jesse. He's here for Charlie's job. Hi, Andrew manages finally to get out. Nice to meet you. You sound British, says the president. Can he even work for me if he's British? He asks Leo. He has dual citizenship, says maybe Jesse. I do, Andrew says breathlessly. Why am I meeting him? Asks the president. Because he'll be replacing Charlie, Jesse says patiently. You'll be getting to know him anyway. I thought it might be nice for you to meet the man who will be looking after you before he has to wake you up early every morning. All right. The president turns and holds out his hand. Nice to meet you, Andrew. I look forward to getting to know you better. You too, Mr. President, Andrew says enthusiastically, shaking his hand. He looks over at Jesse, who gives him an encouraging smile. It's a tough job, Leo says. Long hours and lots of confidential information. You think you can handle it? Yes, says Andrew firmly. Yes, I can. Good. Jesse, why don't you show him around, introduce him to people? Leo turns away, and Jesse jerks his head towards the door. Andrew scurries after him, feeling completely lost. You know I came here for an internship, he says. I know, says Jesse. But you're smart and you're personable, and this is a better job. He leads the way through the corridors, talking a mile a minute. The guy you're replacing is Charlie Young. He was the president's body man for 2 years, but he's finished college, so he's off to law school. He nods to a man with a slightly receding hairline. That's Josh, deputy chief of staff. Normally he'd be doing the interviews, but he's really busy today. Hey, Jesse, is this the new Charlie? Asks a pretty blonde woman, looking Andrew over with blatant interest. Yes, Jesse says. Andrew, this is Donna. She's Josh's secretary. Hi, Andrew says politely. Nice to meet you. Ooh, you're British, Donna says. Is he allowed to work for us if he's British? Asks Josh, frowning. I have dual citizenship, Andrew says. Right, okay. Josh pokes Donna in the arm. Come on, I have that thing. The two of them vanish into an office, and Jesse looks over at Andrew. Andrew is feeling a little like he's been run over by a freight train. Jesse frowns and asks, doing all right? I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed. Andrew lets out a breath slowly. Jesse waits patiently, his wide blue eyes fixed on Andrew's face. All right. I'm good. Okay, great. Jesse knocks on another office door. This is my boss, Toby, director of communications. What is it? Demands a crabby voice. It's me and the new Charlie, Jesse calls. I'm coming in. He opens the door and is hit in the face by a balled-up piece of paper. A bald man with an impressive beard scowls at both of them. I am trying to write the speech for the luncheon tomorrow, and it's not working, Toby says. As soon as you're done with this, come back and help. Yeah, Jesse says. This is Andrew. Hi, Andrew ventures, lifting up his hand. Where did you pick up this one? Asks Toby. A garage sale at the British Embassy? Yes, Jesse says. I exchanged him for that glass paperweight you gave me for Hanukkah last year. Touché. Toby waves his hand. Get out of here. Jesse shuts the door and looks at Andrew. He's always like that. Andrew nods. Okay. Just one more person, Jesse promises. I'm holding you to that, Andrew says. Jesse smiles, quick and fleeting, and Andrew watches Jesse's cheeks dimple, his stomach flipping over a little. I'm an honorable guy, he says, and starts off again. Andrew hurries to catch up. The last person is a tall woman with short hair and glasses. She looks down at Andrew and says, Well, aren't you a cutie? CJ, this is Andrew, Jesse says. Andrew, this is our press secretary, CJ. I recognize you from television, Andrew says. You're much more beautiful in person. CJ arches her eyebrows and laughs. You're trying to charm me. Not at all. Andrew starts to protest, though he is just a little, and that's when Jesse announces that the tour is over and takes Andrew back to the office just outside the Oval. The elderly woman offers Jesse a cookie, which he takes, and then he points at the other desk. This is yours, Jesse says. This is Mrs. Landingham. Hello there, Mrs. Landingham says. Are you ready for this? I hope so, Andrew says nervously. You will be, Jesse promises. He hovers over Andrew's desk a little awkwardly. I know it seems a little overwhelming right now, but you'll be fine. You're smart and you're charming, and I know you'll do a great job. Andrew flushes, a little embarrassed. You can't know that. I have good instincts, Jesse says. Good luck, Andrew. He flashes another of those lightning-quick smiles and leaves. Andrew sags back in his chair and lets out a stunned breath. 2. The new Charlie is cute, Donna tells Jesse when he gets back to his office. Do you think he's single? He's single, Jesse says. I asked. Ooh. Donna elbows him knowingly. Do you like him? Jesse ignores her and sequesters himself in his office. After a moment, he bangs his head against the door and says, Get a grip, Eisenberg. I'd bet he'd date you, Donna says through the door. We're not allowed to date, Jesse says. We work together. Those rules are just suggestions, Donna says. Jesse opens the door and gives her a look. What? I have to help Toby with a speech, he mumbles, pushing past her. Don't go spreading stories. Would I do such a thing? Donna asks. Jesse doesn't bother answering her and goes into Toby's office where he proceeds not to think about Andrew Garfield. 3. Hi, Andrew says, swinging into Jesse's office late that afternoon. I wanted to thank you for hiring me. Can I take you out to dinner? Jesse looks up from his desk, squinting in confusion. What? Dinner? You? Me? Andrew gestures expansively. We'll eat. You look exhausted. I am, Jesse says somewhat vaguely. I'm busy. Doing what? Andrew asks blankly. The day's finished. I have some reports to... Come on, Andrew sighs, moving around the desk to prod at Jesse's arms. Get up. I'll take you someplace quick, and then you can come back here and work yourself to death. Sound good? Awesome, Andrew says, dragging Jesse towards the door. Italian? I like Italian. Don't you have work? Jesse asks plaintively. It's my first day. I was told to go home. Andrew beams at him. You got me hired at the White House. I need to thank you somehow. You really don't, Jesse protests. It was nothing. It was not nothing. I called my mom during my lunch break and she started crying. She's not even American. Andrew pouts at Jesse and, goddammit, he really is very attractive. Please, Jesse, I want to get to know the people I work with, and you were so helpful today. And you're the only one who's kind of the same age as me. Jesse stares at him, trying to think of an excuse. He fails to come up with one, and he sighs noisily. Fine, it has to be quick, though. Brilliant. Andrew breaks into a fresh smile. I don't actually know any good places to eat around here. I only just moved a week ago, so you'll have to pick a place. Jesse picks the least romantic Italian place he can think of, and they sit across from each other, Jesse trying very hard not to drum his fingers nervously on the table. Andrew is chattering about his time as an actor. An actor? God, Jesse is so monumentally screwed. And how he'd been inspired to go into politics. So, what about you? He asked when he was finished talking. How did you get involved? Jesse stares very intently at the menu, so he doesn't have to look at Andrew's wide, earnest eyes. Sam Seaborn. He's my other boss. He's not in town right now. He's having family troubles, but, I met him in New York right before he joined the Bartlett campaign. I was writing for a student newspaper, and he asked me if I'd like to join the staff. I was an assistant for a year, and then they promoted me to Associate Deputy of Communications. He shrugs. It's a made-up title, but I share an office with Sam. What student newspaper? Andrew asks, propping his chin on his hand. And the next thing he knows, Jesse is pouring out his whole life story to Andrew. Clowns and embarrassing bus rides and all. He stutters to a halt and blinks. I didn't mean to tell you all of that. Andrew is smiling shyly, though. He doesn't seem put off by Jesse's verbal spew. My life is so boring compared to yours, he complains. The most interesting thing about me is the dual citizenship. The waiter comes by then, which prevents Jesse from saying something idiotically adoring and inappropriate, like how Andrew is beautiful and fascinating. By the time the waiter leaves, Andrew has been distracted, and he asks Jesse about his living arrangements in D.C., which leads Jesse into talking about his sister, and how being roommates with her is both great and awful. The meal goes by in a blur, and the next thing Jesse knows, it's an hour and a half later. Oh no, he groans. I have to get back. I'm sorry, Andrew says guiltily. I didn't mean to keep you, it's just... You're really nice. I'm not that nice, Jesse protests. You can't even admit you're nice, that's how nice you are. Andrew shakes his head and then shoos Jesse's hand away when he reaches for the check. I'll get it. Andrew walks back with him, and the two of them hover outside the gate, neither of them saying anything. Eventually, Jesse says, Well, I'll see you tomorrow. And he flees inside the safety of the fence. 4. Andrew had totally kicked the smoking habit when he lived in New York, but he finds himself sneaking out with President Bartlett for joint cigarette breaks. The president offers Andrew a cigarette, and Andrew lights up for them both. My wife would kill us if she saw us right now, the president says, exhaling a cloud of smoke. I was supposed to quit. Me too, Andrew says guiltily. Should I be stopping you? You can try, the president says. But we kicked your asses in 2 wars, so I wouldn't try it. I don't know if you kicked our ass in 1812, sir, Andrew said. We kind of burned down your White House. Well, okay, the president says. I guess you have a point there. He looks pensive for a moment, then asks. So what do I have next? Andrew flips through the planner, squinting. A meeting with the Joint Chiefs. Then with the Senate leadership for a discussion of current defense funds. I don't suppose I can have Leo sit in on either of those, says the president. Well, I don't think it would be out of the question to have Mr. McGarry sit in with the Senate leadership. Andrew closes the planner and grinds out his cigarette. But first you have lunch. Right, the president says with a heavy sigh. All right, let's head inside. Andrew holds out his hand for the president's cigarette butt, then follows him inside. Sometimes, Andrew takes smoke breaks with Jesse, who admits that he thinks cigarettes are disgusting, but that nicotine is what helps him keep together during the day. Andrew does his best not to watch the way Jesse's lips curl around the end of the cigarette. He fails every time. 5. The president threatens to fire Andrew at least once a day. It's usually in the morning when Andrew wakes him up. Andrew is a naturally cheerful person, and waking up at 5 in the morning doesn't particularly dampen his spirits. "Who is this?" demands the president grumpily. "I just went to sleep." "It's 6 a.m., Mr. President," Andrew says brightly. "Time to get up." "You're fired," the president says. "No one should be this cheerful at 6 a.m. "Of course, Mr. President. I'll see you in the Oval." Andrew hangs up and pulls up the president's schedule. As always, it's a full day. They're flying out to California in 2 days, and Andrew is kind of looking forward to maybe getting to see his aunt. He also has maybe plans for how he is going to get Jesse alone, but that's no one's business. He starts to going through the mail, and only looks up when the senior staff starts filing in. He smiles at Sam, who is the first one in, and says, "And are you looking forward to the California trip?" "Almost as much as Toby's looking forward to not going," Sam says. "And how are you doing today, Andrew?" "I'm doing just great," Andrew smiles sunnily at him as Jesse comes in. "The speech you wrote for the president for that fundraiser was really fantastic." "Thank you," Sam says, glancing over at Jesse. Jesse's face is blank, and Andrew wonders if maybe Jesse's having a bad day. "Is everything all right?" he asks Jesse. "Yes," Jesse says, clipped. "I'm just fine. Can we go in?" Andrew frowns, but nods them in. He looks across at Mrs. Landingham. "Did I do something?" "I really couldn't say, Andrew," she says serenely. 6. "You like him," Sam says accusingly, and Jesse feels himself flush. "I don't know what you're talking about," Jesse lies. "Oh, come on," Sam grins. "You are totally in love with Andrew." "What are you, 13? Asks Jesse. "Don't you have other things to worry about?" "Probably," Sam agrees, "but this is so much more interesting." "What's more interesting?" asks CJ as she walks into the room, her nose buried in a file. "Jesse has a crush on Andrew," Sam tells her. She looks over the edge of her file and raises her eyebrows. "Is this supposed to be news? I thought everyone knew that." "Shut up," Jesse says. "I do not. And don't say a word about it to anyone else." "Hmm," Sam says, just as Toby and Josh come inside. "Sure." 7. Andrew sits next to Jesse on the flight to California. "Hi," he says. "Are you all right?" "Yes," Jesse says, puzzled. Why? "Yesterday you looked all..." Andrew flaps his hand. "You know, sad." "Oh, it's just... I don't know." Jesse leans against the window. "Hallie is having some trouble with one of her professors, and I don't have time to be home and help her out. And also, my older sister is getting married in 2 months, and I still don't have a date. If I don't bring one, my mom will try and set me up with someone." Andrew makes a face that's hilarious, and Jesse snorts involuntarily. Andrew beams, seemingly pleased that he made Jesse laugh. "I'm sure you'll find someone to go with you," he says confidently. "And Hallie's a smart girl, or at least she seems like she must be. I mean, she's your sister." Jesse feels himself turning red. "Thanks," he says, embarrassed. "So why are we going to California?" asks Andrew, leaning over Jesse to shove open the window shade. There's not much to see except for the faint flashing of light from the Pelion's wing, and very far down, tiny pinpricks of light. "I didn't really follow the explanation." "Fundraising," says Jesse. "A lot of actors and producers out here helped us in the election. So we're going to meet with the community leaders and also thank our supporters." "Does this mean we get to meet celebrities?" Andrew asks, eyes wide. "You work with celebrities," Jesse feels compelled to point out. "It's not the same," Andrew protests. "I mean, I'm not saying that movie stars are more important than the president, but until 2 months ago, I was a struggling actor." "Fair point." Jesse leans back in his seat. "How are you doing, by the way? Are you enjoying yourself?" "I love it," Andrew says honestly. "It's chaotic and sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind, but it's totally worth it. It's a great job and I work with great people." He gives Jesse a small, shy smile, And Jesse goes hot, his fingers tingling a little. He coughs and says, "Yeah, it's a great job." Andrew smiles wider and curls his long limbs into the seat before apparently going to sleep. 8. Andrew puts his sunglasses on the instant they exit the plane, even though it's still fairly early in the day and he doesn't strictly need them. He adjusts his suit jacket and takes the president's bag down to the car, passing Jesse on his way. Jesse smiles at him and Andrew nearly drops the bag. The majority of the day is kind of a waste, in Andrew's opinion. They're meeting with pollsters and then some activist groups with truly wacky causes. He keeps his opinions to himself and speaks as little as possible. He's found that overly patriotic activists always want to know what a Brit is doing as the aide to the president. The evening is dedicated to a party in Beverly Hills. Andrew wears a suit that costs more than his rent, and he can't figure out what to do with his hands. He follows the president in and then lets him mingle, figuring that the president will call him if he needs him. CJ looks amazing, as always, towering over half the people in the room and managing to seem both awkward and totally at ease. "I am really glad I quit Hollywood," she tells Andrew when he comes to her side. "I forgot how much I hate it." "Can I ask you something?" Andrew says nervously. "And don't read anything into it, okay?" CJ looks at him suspiciously. "What did you do?" "Nothing," Andrew yelps. "I just want to clear it with you first. That's why I'm here." "The rest of the staff could learn from you," CJ mutters. "Sure, shoot." "What's the policy on dating?" Andrew asks. CJ smirks. "You mean dating within the White House?" Yes, Andrew says. "Am I allowed to date a staffer?" "Technically, yes," CJ says. "It would be easier for everyone, especially me, if you didn't, but there's really no rule against it. Just, you know, keep it on the down low." Andrew blinks at her. "Down low?" "You know what I mean," she says, rolling her eyes. "Thanks," he says, and he goes to find Jesse. 9. He finally locates Jesse in a corner of the terrace. Jesse is smoking and talking on the phone, his voice sounding strained as he says, "Toby, I don't think... Look, we don't want to piss them off." Andrew watches as Jesse slumps, looking exhausted. "I don't think that's the right way to do this," Jesse says. He flicks his cigarette onto the cement and grinds it out. "Look, I'll think about it and call you back." He hangs up and then jumps when he sees Andrew. "I didn't see you there." "Hi," Andrew says, offering a smile. "You seem stressed." And Jesse, Andrew thinks, is looking really good. He's wearing a suit with a blue shirt that matches his eyes and no tie. The collar of his shirt is open just enough to offer a tantalizing hint of pale skin and the jut of a clavicle. Jesse rubs his face. "Toby wants to start working on the State of the Union speech." "It's November," Andrew says blankly. "Can't it wait?" "Not if he's going to run in the next election." Jesse licks his lips and sighs. Andrew does his best not to fixate on Jesse's lower lip. "Were you looking for me?" "Yes," Andrew says. "Why don't you take me?" Jesse frowns adorably. "I'm sorry?" "To your sister's wedding," Andrew elaborates. "Take me as your date." Jesse's eyes went comically wide. "What are you?" He stops. "Andrew." Andrew bites his lip and steps closer to Jesse. "I want to go. I want to meet your family. You talk about them so much." Jesse tilts his head up a little so he can look Andrew in the eyes. "Are you... is this... you know..." He flaps a hand demonstratively. Andrew nods, hardly daring to breathe. He starts to lean in, and then abruptly remembers what CJ had said and jerks back. Jesse's face shudders, and Andrew hurriedly reaches out to grab Jesse's hand. "No, no, it's just... CJ told me we need to be careful. There are, you know, people here." Jesse looks around, as if remembering that they're at a party. "Oh, right." "But," Andrew says, "I wish I could, you know?" He lowers his voice. kiss you. In my head, I'm kissing you. Jesse turns pink and ducks his head. Yeah, me too. 10. Andrew doesn't let go of Jesse's hand for almost the entire wedding. Hallie giggles at them, even though Jesse glares and threatens to hide her Naomi Novik books when they get back home. Typically, Hallie had taken to Andrew immediately and had told him all the embarrassing stories about Jesse. Luckily, Andrew mostly seemed to think they were charming and hilarious, and he just squeezed Jesse's hand. They still haven't managed to kiss. Jesse absolutely refuses to do anything in front of his little sister, and they haven't had a moment alone the entire way up to New York. He fidgets as Carrie walks down the aisle, but he tears up just a little bit when she and her new husband break the glass together. Andrew tugs him in closer and leans against him. Jesse sneaks off to smoke a cigarette and is soon found by Andrew. Andrew takes the cigarette from him and takes a long drag before leaning in and pulling Jesse towards him. "We're alone now," Andrew says, hopefully, dropping the cigarette onto the ground. "I guess you're right," Jesse says, after checking around them. "All right," Andrew says. "I'm going to kiss you now." He waits a beat, but Jesse doesn't protest. His stomach is doing backflips in anticipation, and he closes his eyes as Andrew moves forward. The first touch of Andrew's mouth to his sends Jesse into a tailspin of desire, and he clutches desperately at Andrew's forearms, opening his mouth and letting out a slightly embarrassing whimper that Andrew swallows. A long time later, Jesse pulls back reluctantly and says, "We should probably go back inside." "Yeah," Andrew says, even as his gaze strays down to Jesse's mouth. "We probably should." Jesse leans up and kisses him again, then tangles their fingers together. "All right," he says, determined. "Let's go." They head back inside and return to their table. Hallie takes one look at them and then bursts into a fresh fit of giggles. "You guys are so cute," she says. "Hallie Kate," Jesse hisses, flushing. And Andrew squeezes his hand. Jesse's mother is eyeing them from the adjacent table. She had naturally taken to Andrew like a moth to the flame and thought that he was the most wonderful thing in the world. Jesse avoids her knowing look and concentrates on listening to the best man's speech. They leave the reception around 10 and return to their hotel. The moment they're inside their room, Andrew pushes Jesse back against the door and starts unbuttoning his shirt. "I've been thinking about this for a long time," Andrew confesses, opening Jesse's shirt and running his fingers across Jesse's chest. "You can do so much better," Jesse sighs. Andrew gives him a half smile. "I really can't." He kisses Jesse, and any further protests die in Jesse's throat. He lets Andrew drag him to bed, not even protesting when Andrew keeps the lights on. They're both woken up at 5 a.m. by their phones ringing. Jesse squints at his screen and sees a message from Sam. "POTUS appointed Marbury to ambassador." Andrew rolls over and smiles at Jesse. "I bet Leo's having a fit." Jesse snorts and snuggles up into Andrew's shoulder. "I'm glad we're not down there." "Yeah," Andrew says. He kisses the top of Jesse's head and lets out a sigh. "How many of them know about us, do you think?" "Everyone but Josh," Jesse says promptly. Andrew giggles. "I kind of want to see how long we can go without him figuring it out," he says. "I'm up to that challenge," Jesse says, grinning, and Andrew kisses his dimples, poking his fingers into Jesse's sides in a futile attempt to find a ticklish spot. Jesse retaliates by tickling Andrew's neck, and Andrew folds in on himself, going breathless with laughter. "All right, I give in," Andrew says eventually, and they both flop onto their backs. After a moment, Andrew says, "I'm pretty sure I'm in love with you." Jesse bites his lip, so pleased he can hardly speak. He pulls himself together long enough to say, "I love you too," before rolling over to kiss Andrew into full wakefulness. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this story's post. Thank you for listening.